thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional
zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
It works! We're hoping.
This transitional zombie apocalypse. I never get tired of hearing that.
Well, you have to have your transitional zombie apocalypse every now and again. Keeps stuff fresh.
No, I think the definition of zombies is it, in fact, does not keep things fresh. Unless you're wrapping your zombies in saran wrap before you, that way they just get all mushy. Oh.
They're casting preserved corpse before they reanimate the dead.
Let's actually move on to a show before this deteriorates more.
Too late.
Not deteriorating when you can work D&D into something, is it?
Maybe.
I'm not sure how to answer that question.
It's been a little while, mainly because people have been distracted by presidential debates, but finally get a record. I don't know, maybe a short show today, but we'll try to fill air. So we go rambling on stuff. Just listen.
You don't have a choice in the matter. Just listen.
Started off with anybody that's listened to the last show, which I just remembered to post about 10 minutes ago. So if you listen to it, you either listen to it live or really quick at downloading stuff.
There are some people who are really watching that site, like, within minutes.
But you'd know I picked up XCOM, been playing that.
Well, give us an overview of it, because a lot of people probably don't know that XCOM is actually a very old game.
Yeah. One, I've not actually played the originals. I do know a bit about them. Yeah, XCOM was an old series. Do you know when they were originally?
Oh, Lord. The XCOM games have been around. Well, why don't we just, consult the Googles?
Googles knows all.
XCOM. XCOM is a science fiction video game franchise beginning with the strategy game UFO Enemy Unknown, published in 1994. So it's a decade.
Yeah.
And I remember it being an old game. I mean, it was an old DOS game, right? DOS Windows.
Yeah.
So, whole series. There's a whole series of them, from 1994 to 1999. Yeah, they were kind of a strategy game mostly, and then they kind of disappeared for like a decade.
Well, the last couple ones, they kind of started changing up, which I think that's probably what messed it up, because I know there, for some reason, was like a first-person shooter one, which just seemed odd.
It worked for Metroid. Maybe they're just trying to spin off that.
Hey, given the time frame, Metroid would have been trying to spin off them if they pulled it off.
Yeah. That and a bit of a different jump from side-scroller to first-person to turn-based strategy to first-person.
What game was it? There was a Red Alert game that did that. Made a first-person shooter out of it. I'm not sure how good it was, but...
No clue what about that
one. Red Alert, shoot your general?
Yeah, something like that.
But back to the XCOM games. Pretty much, back in the day, they were, my brain's not working. They were turn-based strategy RPGs Well, pretty much you and a military squad to defend the planet from unknown extraterrestrial forces. And your men usually died a lot.
I like that. It's an unknown extraterrestrial force, but we know where they're coming from because we know where to deploy our troops.
Well, we know where to deploy them. It's because they've already showed up and started killing stuff. But yeah.
Well, you find out where the population of your troops have declined greatly, and then send more troops. It's basic military strategy, right? I mean, right out of Age of Empires or Star Trek Armada.
There you go.
Just keep sending more troops until either A, you're out of troops, or the troops stop dying.
That's what cloning tanks are for, right?
Yeah. With the new XCOM enemy unknown, they, for the main part, try to keep the spirit of the same. They did simplify it a lot, because in this one, the max squad you can have is only 6 units, which, from what I've heard of the first one, you can have like 30 or so people on one mission. So that part changed a bit, but I think they were mainly just kind of simplifying it, because again, I've never played it, but I assume running an entire turn of 30 different surges probably took just a little bit of time.
I honestly couldn't say. I really don't remember.
So in this turn-based strategy, is it still basic? Go up a tech tree, gather resources, or does it differ greatly from that kind of formula?
Well, there is tech and all that. It's mainly capturing alien tech and reverse engineering it. There's not really many branches to the tech tree, unfortunately. Wish it was kind of having a solid choice of, well, you want to go this path or this path instead of just, this stuff is now better than this stuff. Which, there's a couple different choices of tech, but again, it's more of what works best for that unit instead of just an overall completely change of the tech. But I still have to say, sending a group of troops on jet-powered power armor is always fun.
So how much did the game run you?
I got it new for $50. So not quite going them trying to charge $60 for PC games mount, but I've probably at least been playing it a good 20 to 30 hours so far, so I definitely think I've got my money worth in time-wise, but see, sorry for being had this thought out beforehand, but problems with getting it working. Somebody quick, Phil, will brain reboots.
Today's brain reboot is brought to you by this sledgehammer that we're hitting BSV in the back of the head with.
Brain sledgehammer. Let's see here. But yeah. Couple of things. I know in the first ones you had multiple bases. They did simplify that to just one base. But, and
Warning, incoming SARD. User
was moved to your channel.
Hey, we have my people.
What up?
Not much. Talking about shooting aliens and stealing their tech.
Cool. Let's do it.
He's talking about video game SARD.
We haven't quite found the real aliens yet.
We're looking, don't worry.
Okay, good. When you find them, you let me know.
Yep, right after we put their heads on eBay.
Well, we have to first make sure to study them first. Then we can sell them.
And hire his digital pictures, no big deal.
For the gameplay itself, pretty much most of the missions and all that are pretty much randomly generated. There's pretty much a handful of either preventing abduction sites, shooting down alien aircraft, and clearing out the wreckage. The console missions you get now and again, which can vary from VIP missions to just sort of figure out what's going on. There was ones to stop aliens from sabotaging stuff with a bomb, which is a neat mechanic of having to keep the turn off power nodes to keep the timer going. Other than that, most of the missions, like I said, were randomly generated. From what I can tell, I haven't quite beaten the game yet, but getting close. There's roughly three main missions that vary or change up the thing and notice it proceed the story a bit more. But one of the main things of the game is not really the story itself, as pretty much what goes on and during the game, whether it be just having your entire squad wiped out, or just some random thing going on. You can play it pretty or differently and all that, but the story, like I said, was more of what you make of it. Like, all my soldiers had a pretty much ran them through the recruitment of having to taser and take in a live alien on their first mission. Not a lot of them survived.
Wow. That's just... it's like, okay, for your first mission, we're doing a suicide mission. Those of you who survive will get promoted.
And do you get to make up your own first mission for your soldiers?
Oh, it's whatever mission comes up. But, yeah, you have a pool of soldiers that you can pick from when you to take along, so usually I always have one rookie to try to get them some XP or have them take shots for my more valuable soldiers.
Like, hello, you've been deemed red shirt.
Well, if they survive being a red shirt, they get a different color.
I don't know, the shirt's red to hide all the blood. It's no big deal.
Well, there's not so much blood left when they use plasma weapons and...
Oh, it instantly cauterizes the wound for you. Thanks, good guy alien.
And having
red shirt and round pants.
They do have quite a few of the classic aliens. Fun chrysalids were fun coming across in this one. Nothing sounds like or says fun like civilian population turning into zombies.
Well, you know, speaking of which. So, all right. Well, why don't you go ahead and wrap it up? Give us an overall rating for this game here.
Does have a few problems, movement wise, but did like it for just a unique turn-based strategy RPG. I'd give it 30 out of 50, at least.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's better than, you know, what we've done for some games, so.
Yeah. Again, it had a few problems, but...
What problems came up? Was it, like, system problems or just buggy game problem?
There was one problem that pops up now and again when trying to select where to move your surger. If it's in like an elevated area where you can kind of select beyond it, kind of glitches out of which spot it wants to actually have selected at the time. Normally if you rotate the camera, it will fix it, but had a few times where instead of having a surger take cover on the edge of a high area, they decide to jump over the cover and sit in the low area with that's completely open. Usually not good for survival reasons.
Then he becomes distraction boy and you move the rest of your units around to whatever's killing him.
Yeah, I prefer to keep them alive so they can also shoot at the aliens.
The shooting's a good distraction.
Hey, whenever somebody's shooting at me, I'm paying very close attention to them.
Has a few problems, but again, I like the gameplay and probably be playing through it a couple of times since it does have an Iron Man mode where it just keeps one autosave for that gameplay. So if you mess up, it's a permanent mess up. And you mess up enough times, you can pretty much get the XCOM group shut down and have to start a new game.
You can actually get your unit disbanded. Nice.
Is it possible to cut the strands of fate? You mess up in such a way that you can't beat the game?
Well, if you mess up enough times, it pretty much countries that are back in the XCOM program start pulling out, and if enough of the leaves, they shut down the program and it's game over.
Can you re-recruit countries, or once they're gone, they're gone?
Once they're gone, it seems like they're gone, which seems a bit odd when they seem to be the only military first capable of fighting the aliens, but
yeah, you know, we're just not going to fund that. You know, the whole alien invasion thing, we're just going to deal with it.
I see you have some nice tech there, some plasma cannons and all that, but we will be fine with our own military.
Hey, sequestration's a bitch. It happens to everybody.
So again, I like it, and may not be for everybody, but anybody else have anything to review?
Oh, I've got something I've been playing. I've been looking for games for my phone lately, and it's been interesting finding, you know, just, you know, what you can find out there, especially for free. So I found where somebody literally took the code from Frozen Bubble and swapped it around, so you just kind of tap to aim and fire at the same time, which kind of works. And, you know, it's bad enough that they're, you know, once again doing that Frozen Bubble game because, like, everybody's cloned it. But it's like they didn't even bother to change the sound effects of the levels. They just changed some of the art and made it work with the touchscreen. So, which is okay. I mean, it's a Frozen Bubble's a good game, but you know, it's just really funny when somebody does that and then changes the name. But at least they're not charging for it. So that that's just one example of some of the funnier crap you find, especially when you recognize a lot of the open source games. That said, I've been playing Plague Inc., which is apparently based off a Flash game. Now, I somehow missed a Flash game, but apparently that's where the theme of Madagascar shut down everything came from. Which was, I think, it was just Plague. But in Plague Inc., you are doing... It's a strategy game. You are controlling the evolution of a plague, and your goal is to wipe out humanity.
Always a good goal.
It's not really that complex when you figure it out. Make it really easy to spread. Keep it symptoms are low so nobody panics or starts trying to work on a cure for it or starts closing the borders or anything. And once you have a good chunk of the population infected, start turning up the symptoms so that people start dying and you win. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's some timing to it and there's, the, you know, you have to manage your points so that you actually have enough points to win the game. But, I mean, it's not... You can figure it out in a couple of rounds, and it's not that complicated. But the reason I point out the game, one, it is free. You, if you want unlocks in it quickly, you can pay to get the pro version. And I paid $1 to unlock one thing just so I could control, because I wanted the pro version. So I went ahead and gave them the $1 to unlock one of the little DNA things. But the pro version lets you speed up time and gets rid of the ads. So for me, it was worth it getting rid of the damn ads. But the really funny part was the way some of the symptoms interact, because you get these little notices. So it's like, oh, you've managed to find the Walking Dead syndrome because you've given people insomnia, and there's a certain combination of other symptoms that like simulate the Walking Dead, and so that's really funny. The one I got recently was the oops symptom, where you gave people vomiting and sneezing. So people were projectile vomiting. And that was causing accidents, which caused the death rate to go up. Some of the combinations are just funny. But yeah, so there's a lot of little hidden stuff like that. And because of the way I like to play it, which is to keep the symptoms down, so you get a lot of fake news reports that go across there. So there's some really good comedy in the game. It kind of loses interest for you pretty quickly, but I mean, it's a nice little way to kill a couple hours on the cell phone. So that's really all I have. I mean, I paid the $1 for it. You don't have to. You can just get it for free. I just wanted to get rid of the ads, really. So yeah, I thought it was worth $1, so it wasn't that big a deal. But I mean, it's a real simple game. Essentially, you have a map. You know, the interface is a map of the world, and then you're controlling the evolution of your disease, and you get DNA points, and you get a couple of points every time you infect a new country, and you randomly get more points distributed out through just random DNA bonuses, and you get so many points, or you get a point for every so many infected humans, and then you get more points when people start to die. So it just kind of gradually accumulates. And you kind of have to pick how you want to spread them out, because there's different trees to go all the way down with the scent. I mean, you can make a plague that kills anybody it touches. So if you kill all your carriers, because you know they go into a coma and their organs fail, they'll die before they can pass the disease on to anybody else. So you'll kill out all your carriers without them ever having to cure it. The other thing is, once humanity notices the disease, they'll start working on trying to cure it. So a lot of times what will happen to me is I'll get the disease right to where I want it, and they'll finish the cure before I can make it deadly enough. And it's just like, damn it. Because, I mean, like, the minute it's cured, like, you know, 3 days later, game time, it's game over, you're done. You've been eradicated. So, I mean, it's a nice little time killer, but it's not... The strategy is pretty much just managing your points and making sure that you can get the disease spread everywhere and then have enough points to make the thing deadly. I've had a couple of times where I've gotten the thing spread everywhere, then I just didn't have the points to make it deadly, so I had to kind of sit there and wait on it And I figured out I was never going to get enough points to make it deadly before people noticed it and cured it. So, you know, you just quit and start over. So it's a nice little strategy game.
Hmm. Like you said, but all it sounds like it'll be entertaining enough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, the interface works. I mean, it's not particularly fantastic, but it's not bad. It's a nice little phone game.
All right.
So, Madman, what was that game you were playing? Hookers Off the Highway.
That's more of a role playing game, and it could get you in jail if the cops find you. The big strategy is to avoid anything with lights on top of the car. And anything that's pussing green when you get the pants off of it.
Oh, that deteriorated quickly.
If he's still in a game title like that, what am I going to go with?
I don't know. Sard, you played anything lately?
Technic Pack. That's new to me, but probably not new to you guys.
Yeah, I think we've reviewed Technic and Minecraft quite a bit already. I do have a feedback letter. Probably over that somewhat bill for time. See here. It's from Mod Tenchi. Pretty much they were just going over about they were went back into Second Life and just kinda disappointed with what happened with it and just wondering what we thought of it since we used to do the IHN show in SL before he hopped out of it. So. Oh. I did like how it was first, but. I don't know. I think the main problem was just the cost for actually running something in it since.
Well, Second Life. I mean, Second Life was interesting as far as, you know, 3D environments go. You could pretty much make whatever you wanted if you wanted to put the time into it.
Yeah.
And all of us had some pretty interesting looking people, you know, for avatars walking around. The big problem I had with Second Life was one, the audio quality was crap, but. You know, that was just the system they'd hooked into and at the time. But the whole thing was kludgy. It didn't really work that well. It was slow. And there just weren't enough. I mean, there just weren't enough people in there to really make it. I mean, it was great for doing events. Like, you know, if you gathered a bunch of people together to do something, it worked great. You got a nice 3D chat room where you could interact and shoot each other with guns and. You know, somebody would bring out the giant dildos or whatever, and it would get funny. But it never really seemed to amount to anything. It's like it was kind of fun to go in there and hang out, but there wasn't really anything to really do.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about you guys, I just lost interest in it. And then it was like, well, it'd be a hell of a lot easier if we just moved off to something else to do the shows. And it didn't take too much prodding for everybody else to kind of agree. So.
Yeah. Again, we did wander around, but yeah, a lot of the areas were dead.
It was like this huge ghost. It was town. Like this huge, yeah. I mean, wasteland of cartoonish characters and you know people attempting to make something that looked unique and everybody kind of looking the same.
Yeah. But the main thing was just the cost of actually having a chunk of land in there versus they never really seemed to actually improve too much. Heck, I know the latest viewers they had were even harder to run.
Yeah, I mean, it never, I mean, it got, you know, it got more stable, and then it would, they'd change something, and then it wouldn't be as stable, or they'd try to add a new feature, and it never really worked, or, I mean, it just was so kludgy. I mean, it never, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how to explain. I mean, Second Life itself, I guess we should review what it was for people who don't know. Second Life was an attempt to make, or to make the 3D internet, to make you know, to make the environment of Snow Crash, you know, the net, and you know, you know, the Matrix, whatever, right? But as we all know, the Matrix is vulnerable to old school SSL or SSH brute force encryptions. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the intro to what was it, Revolution again? The second one? Anyways, the joke of it was that it was like they took an MMO engine and then kind of half smashed it with a 3D modeling program and hooked it all together and put everything server side. And, you know, at first you think this sounds great. Like, you can make whatever you want, walk around, chat, you know, do whatever. Well, one thing you have to remember, these are humans you're interacting with. So obviously the first thing you're going to notice is people walking around either naked or with, you know, strange contraptions or whatever. I mean, it's all very, it can be a little disconcerting at first. It's like, wow, that was somebody walking around with a 12-foot floppy penis. I mean, it's just like, that's, you know, it gets old pretty quick, right? Yeah. But most of the builds, if you walked around and explored, weren't that good. There wasn't really that much to do except shop. Like, everybody set up shops, right? I mean, there weren't games. There were some games, but none of them were worth putting any attention to. The whole thing was laggy as hell, and that's because you couldn't do any of the optimizations you would normally do for a game like this. You know, if you go talk to people who make games, they'll tell you there's all kinds of tricks they do to make the things run better. Like for example, not rendering stuff that's hidden behind a wall. Well, it's really hard for a game engine like Second Life to do that because it doesn't necessarily know where you're looking at all times, you know what I mean? Or who's looking at it. So you got major performance problems. They open sourced the viewers trying to get more attention to it, and that actually made things worse, because then you had people say, no, you use this viewer, you use that viewer, and the whole thing was just a mess.
And there's also, I know that, well, limited a lot of stuff from griefers messing stuff up and shutting down servers.
Yeah, your only recourse with griefers was just to kind of ban everybody except your group, right? So,
well,
I don't know.
Only
I mean,
that, but the coding and all that for creating stuff was started to be limited because of griefers.
Bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They started limiting what all you could do because people screwing with each other. So it just, I mean, it's an interesting concept. I would love to see it revisited and done better. But nobody else really seems to be picking it up in second line. I mean, you see everyone trying every once in a while. You see different groups come out and say, oh, we've got a new one. But nothing really seems to, you know, work. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I'd definitely like to see something similar to it actually taking off and working. But, yeah, I think it was just poorly implemented and...
Hell, I think Minecraft's got the best shot at being a replacement 3D environment, I mean, for just hanging out.
Yeah.
So.
I don't really have anything else to go over, so nobody else does. I think it's about time to start to wrap up the show. Let's see here. There's Nameless Review 7 on Mondays. Hopefully, if I actually get around to it. Shooting the Noise on Wednesday with Big Brother. Peer Decking with Mups on Thursdays. And I believe that's it for now.
Yeah, we'd like to expand out. So if people have ideas for shows, let us know. Use the feedback form, please.
So if you have a show, talk to us. May put it on. In the meantime, I forgot to cue an outro song, so no more music for you.